Welcome to the podcast at moresportsnow.com. We cover your teams on both sides of the Hudson. Steve Tichner here with John McLeavy. We'll give you our thoughts on the Super Bowl, and then we'll talk some local college basketball, including Rutgers' recent struggles. And Seton Hall hangs on with number one Villanova for a while anyway. It's all happening right now. Start this week, John.
Yeah, really? Who? The what?
The Olympics, man.
Yeah.
And I'm into it.
You are you?
Curling? Sure.
The only reason I know about it is because during the Super Bowl, NBC ran 8 zillion spots for it.
Right.
And I quickly fast-forwarded through each and every one of them. Listen, I'm all for USA, 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 but the Olympics just don't do it for me.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. It's not like I'm circling it on my calendar, but
right.
When it comes around, it's cool. It's different. I like the skiing. I like, I don't really follow the figure skating. Hockey's cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll follow it.
Right.
So, it's just a resounding thud to you.
But. Yeah, I sort of lost its juice for me years ago.
Okay. After the Miracle on Ice?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
right.
I'm not a big winter sports guy.
I don't do any of them.
Maybe I'll get into a little curling. I was on the Milburn High School curling team.
Yeah, you wanted to make sure there was enough heat in the studio today.
Yes.
So you were not a winter guy.
I am not a winter guy. So, I'll monitor everything. And if something sounds like it's cool, then I'll check it out, but
right.
This guy is not doesn't have the pom poms out.
Let's
right
talk
now
about the Super Bowl, because you certainly were locked into that. And there's a lot of surprises with this Super Bowl. I'll just start listing them here, John.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'm surprised at how well Nick Foles played.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting that. On the spotlight like that, I thought that he'd have at least a little bit of nervousness going on, and boy, he was focused, and he played well. He hit his receivers. He had the game plan. He followed the game plan, and I'm surprised at how well he executed.
I don't even think Nick Foles' family thought he was going to play as well as he did. He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, against Minnesota,
right.
Lights out.
Yeah,
and. Oh, but for a tip ball that went for an interception, he was 28 of 43 for 373 yards and 3 touchdowns. And most of that, a lot of that damage came on 3rd and long.
Absolutely. Not only that, think about the second half where often teams wilt against the Patriots, and that's why they win these big games. He did not wilt. He made plays. And that's what you got to keep doing against the Patriots.
You do.
Which Atlanta just... the second half was a disaster last year.
Yes.
Well, even actually the third deep into the third quarters when they started coming
28-3.
Undone. Yeah, it was awful. And then even if you look at Jacksonville could not make a play
right.
In the second half. Bortles stopped making plays.
No, I know.
Made that point. So
Here's
a team that actually made plays in the second half. Also, Brady passes for more than 500 yards and they lose. Would you ever, if you looked at his stats at the beginning of the game, if they gave it to you and said, hey, he's going to pass for over 500 yards, you'd say to me, there's no way the Patriots would lose in that
and
situation.
And no picks. And no picks. Absolutely not. I mean, he continues at 40 years old to just make a mockery of the game.
It's really
he really
incredible.
Does.
Yeah.
The guy can't move.
But were you surprised at how wide open the receivers were, too? I mean,
what?
You had to wonder about Philly's defense there. I mean, I was a little surprised there as well. I mean, the receivers were wide open.
Yeah, well,
it wasn't like he was threading windows or anything. You know?
Right. Well, all we heard all week long are the 2 weeks. Again, 2 weeks is way too long. Play the bloody Super Bowl a week after the championship series.
I tend to agree with that.
Too much.
Did it 1 year, and I thought it was fine.
It was great, but all we heard about was Philly's, the lines, offensive and defensive lines are going to rule this game. They're going to up until the last play where they strip sack Brady, they couldn't sniff him.
Right.
They couldn't get near the guy.
They pressured him early. And then and then at the end of the game, and finally that was the big play. And obviously the overall, that was the difference there, was Brandon Graham actually getting to Brady, forcing that fumble. And I'm telling you what, if he doesn't make that play there, New England likely wins that game.
Steve.
So that was a huge play because they made plays. You got to make plays. The Patriots are just going to eat you up if you don't.
Steve, when we went over... we put together, you had a great idea to have the More Sports Now scribes put in their
and we all
Super
got on
Bowl.
That Patriot bandwagon, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. Their Super Bowl
you,
predictions.
You, me, and Connor.
Yes. Yeah, and Connor and I had the same score, actually.
Yeah, I was very close.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to change him.
No, I know. I know.
I told you, you got yours. I moved. I said, John, you said the same thing. Basically the same thing I said. But.
So the gist of it is that I wrote in the synopsis that we've all seen this movie before and we know how it ends. When Philly scored and left 2 minutes and 12 seconds on the clock and a timeout for Brady, I defy you to find one person on this earth that didn't think he was going to take them down there and stick it in the end zone.
Absolutely. If they don't get that sack,
it's over. They win.
Yeah. And I was like, you see, I called it. It's a little higher score, but I called this one. I thought for sure that the Patriots were going to go in on that. Huge play by the defensive lineman. He finally got to them.
Yes.
But where's the defense? That was, you know how good Brady is, and you figure he's going to find his receivers, but over 500 yards? That was incredible. And with the Eagles being able to come away with that win is again, a credit to their offense and specifically Nick Foles and how well he played. But I want to say this. And if a Patriots fan has a beef, I will say this. And I don't know if you agree, but when Corey Clement, that touchdown for with Corey Clement, Wisconsin guy, right? Big 10, here we go.
Yeah.
It should have been turned over.
Of course.
Not only was he bobbling the ball, his foot hit the line. Very surprised they didn't turn that call over.
Absolutely. Well, in a season,
I can see Patriot fans really railing about that. It could have been a different game.
Absolutely. In a season of NFL football that was, you know, only underscores what a catch is. Of course, in the biggest game of the year, you're going to get a play like that.
Right.
And it didn't take long. They came right out. They were definitive. They said it stands. Then how about
the later one?
I guess
they didn't overturn it. Now, Ertz, the tight end, if they turn that over, I leave the game forever. That's ridiculous. He caught the ball, had fully secured, was running with the ball, went over the line. And then we all know that
once you break the plane,
it's a touchdown. It was absolute 100% a touchdown. What they were looking at and how they and whatever the rule is, whatever the rules, and I don't even need specifics right now. Get rid of it.
Please.
That was a touchdown.
Well, they have that line there. Then you have to survive the ground. You have to survive the ground. What is this? Like a guy jumping out of an airplane?
You know, let me tell you something. The review. Being able to review the play, it for the most part it's been a positive thing. But this is when it's not.
But they screw those up too. How about the ones with the Jets a couple times this year against the Patriots?
Yeah.
Austin Seferian Jenkins fumble. It's a fumble, goes out of the end zone. It's not only not a touchdown, it's the Patriots ball at the 20 yard line.
Bizarre. That was bizarre.
How about Jesse James and the Steelers in that game against the Patriots?
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing.
Same thing. That was similar to the Ertz thing.
And they overturned it.
No way. I thought that was a bad call against Jesse James. And I think
awful, and
I agree with.
They have to come up with something. I mean,
and the Patriots always seem to be in play here, huh?
Right, and they always seem to get the calls. Oh, and they two of them went right between the eyes this time. They didn't get either one of them. But
I don't know how you felt, but I was happy that the Eagles won. I mean, you know, look, their fans are a little surly. They don't have the best reputation. Whatever's going on in Philly, I don't know why that is, but
knuckleheads.
Look, we don't have the best. We don't have the best reputation in New York either. Let's face it. So it's the Northeast.
Well, the Giants.
But they're long suffering. What's 1960 when they had a championship?
Yes.
Hey, look, good for them, and you know they deserve it. And I'll tell you this, and I don't know if you agree with this, and this is real hard for you, John, as a Giants fan. I thought they were a likable team.
Oh yeah, they were.
You know, the fact that they rallied. Carson Wentz rallied around Nick Foles, and I like their coach. And what a ballsy call, that fourth down call where they got the trick play to Nick Foles.
I was just going to bring that up. I mean, to another thing that I put in my synopsis on not thinking that Philly would win
is the synopsis, by the way?
It's on the moresportsnow.com website.
Okay,
yes. Please go and check it out, all three of you out
Johnny's
there.
Johnny's synopsis.
Yes.
Okay.
But what I said is to be the best, you have to beat the best. And that doesn't mean kicking field goals.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. Doug Peterson, as you mentioned, balls to the wall. They run the quarterback out. He's talking to the lineman. They snap it to Corey Clement, who flips it to Trey Burton, who then hits Foles in the end zone. First ever a now, receiving touchdown so by a quarterback
so
in the Super Bowl.
About this game and the storylines in this game, because Tom Brady had a play similar to that where the ball was right in his hands and he missed it. Oh, my goodness. It could have been a different game.
If
he catches that ball there.
He's got room to run.
Oh, he had a lot of room to run. Yeah. Now you need a calendar to time him in the 40.
Well, he would have ducked out of bounds because somebody would have lit him up.
Yeah, he's beyond slow.
Linebacker.
As great as he is, my goodness. It's not with his feet, man.
No.
Wow, but he missed that ball, John.
Yeah. It was a little over the top. Should he have caught it? Probably yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one to Foles, that was just a line drive right at him. If he would have dropped that, then that would have been the end of the world.
Yeah.
Brady's was a little over the shoulder. He kind of had to look up.
It was right on his fingertips.
It was on his fingertips, and I think he got a little anxious there, but you're right. I mean,
stick to the quarterback position, my man.
Yeah, tale of two quarterbacks. One makes
the
great play. And one doesn't. But a lot of teams would have kicked a field goal there.
Yeah.
And speaking of kicking, how about how horrendous the kicking, place
kicking?
Something
about the logo, the Super Bowl logo was thrown.
Yeah, well, a couple missed extra points. So, yeah. We had missed field goals.
Well, the Eagles guy was okay, right, for the most part.
Yeah,
he had a good game.
He hit the crossbar.
Yeah.
That was the Patriots. Gostkowski.
Gostkowski.
Who's probably going to be a Hall of Famer someday. He had a rough day.
Yeah.
But it was... you know, like Brady said after the game, with all of the offense that they put up in the first half, to have the score, you know, to only have 12 points for New England, I mean, they went up and down the field. Both teams went up and down the field.
Right.
And you know, it wasn't that. I mean, it was 22-12 at halftime. So, you know, you still got a game, and you would figure at that point it would be like 31-28, and that just wasn't the case. But second half, the Patriots were just unstoppable offensively, and that's why
You saw the adjustments at the halftime. You're like, here we go. This is exactly what we were talking about in our prediction. This is what's going to happen. But again, the difference was this time around that the Eagles continued to make plays, and then the big play of obviously being Graham getting to Brady and making that one turnover that they needed, which was the difference, really. And
that
then still they had an opportunity for a Hail Mary at the end there.
Oh, God.
And Gronk down there. And I'm like, oh, man, Gronk, you know he's coming down with this ball. And, you know, pretty close, actually.
It was amazing for it to end on the last play on a Hail Mary.
It was a great game.
Awesome game. Now, can I tell you a couple things that I did not like?
Okay.
The commercials I thought were awful.
For the most part, man. I mean, I haven't been as locked in as I have in the past. I just kind of tune it out. That's my time to go get some more, you know, snacks from the kitchen. And by the way, I was home this year. And
beverages.
I wasn't at a party.
Nice.
Sandy went to Trader Joe's, got a bunch of snacks.
Nice.
And I just watched it a lot, and I loved that.
Did Sandy watch with you?
Nah, you know what? Back and forth.
She's not a commercial person?
My son? In playing on his computer the entire time. Didn't care at all.
So you had the whole place to yourself. Sweet. So you had that.
I like the three different IPAs.
Nice.
I brought one up from Beach House.
Nice.
And I drank enough and ate that's for sure.
The one that I did like, though, was the Giants with Eli and Odell whole dirty dancing. I mean, Eli's
kind of
a horrible dancer. And the fact that he did it and put himself out there.
Willing to do it.
Yeah, self-deprecating. Yeah. I thought that was great. I liked some of the Tide spots
with what's his name, David Harbour.
They were good.
He's from Stranger Things.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either.
I saw the first season. I haven't seen the second season, but people like it. But he's a good actor.
He was excellent.
He was funny. He was funny in those commercials. I thought they were really good.
What did you think of the
lip syncing thing with Peter Dinklage and
that was all right.
And Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, the fact that they went back to back, ran them back to back. I'm like, this looks like it's the same kind of a thing here.
It was all right. A lot of them that were like, how about there was a dust up over the truck commercial, Ram.
Yeah.
With Martin Luther King Jr.
To sell trucks. I kind of don't see the...
People using one of his speeches and people kind of... Really, we're doing this now?
I think
Luther King's speech to sell drugs?
I think it's nice to give his views a platform on something like that, but is it to sell trucks? Is that the right way to do it?
Look, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing on Super Bowl Sunday. You're spending a fortune on these ads, and everybody's trying to do something different.
And the other thing that I didn't like was the halftime show.
You didn't like Justin Timberlake?
I'm not a big Timberlake guy to begin with.
I think he's super talented. Here's the problem I have with it. You know, because all choreography, doing all the choreography on the dancing and all that stuff, it's not easy, man.
No.
And it was a lot, but, you know, it was overproduced, man. I mean, how about this? Give me three or four of your best songs, because he can sing.
Right.
And just sing them, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing little tidbits of all his stuff, and he's changing it all around, because, you know, obviously it's got to be different for that day.
See,
he can't
sing
the song the way he sang it the first time. And then, you know, he did a nice tribute to his Prince, I thought. That was nice.
Yeah, but I don't think the family wanted that. They told him not to do that, and they did it anyway.
Wow.
From what I had seen.
Well, I talked to a few people the following day, and I heard from a lot of people that it was overproduced. There wasn't enough singing. Every now and then he'd give you the hey, Minneapolis, just to let you know that he's not lip syncing.
Yes.
But there was a lot of piped in music.
Yes.
And to me, it's overproduced.
Yes.
You know? But you know what? Most people really enjoyed it. I thought he was getting nailed.
What was he wearing, first of all? What was that outfit? It was like a tie-dye suit and dark. I mean, it was crazy.
I didn't pick it up. So it was not your best.
No, I kept waiting maybe for Janet Jackson. I thought she was going to come out and make a little appearance for another wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah. Well, you know, but it, all in all, you know, it was a great game.
Oh, the game on the field was stellar.
And the halftime show didn't really take that much away from it. Again, you know,
stellar.
You know, you can always go to the refrigerator.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's the nice
and I
thing.
Did.
That's the nice thing about it.
I did. Or you know, I just kind of
get another beer.
Fast forwarded through
get
it.
Get another bag of chips.
Yes.
You know, it's a day to overdrink and overeat. You know,
it was a great
and have a good time.
Yes.
So, and I certainly did that.
Yes, as well, you should.
So we'll put the Super Bowl away. Super Bowl 52. Congratulations to the Eagles. Hey, they're right. Hey, they're an hour away, right?
They are. 50 so, deuce. The are you going to
we're
the
New York,
parade?
We're New York sports fans, but it's an hour away.
It's down the turnpike.
You know, I'm covering for a gal at Hillary at Beach House.
Okay. Hillary Clinton?
Hillary is a big...
Eagles.
A big Eagles fan.
All right.
And she's going to the parade. So
right.
I was actually originally going to be off on Thursday. I'm now working on Thursday. I'm taking off tomorrow.
You're taking one for the team for Hillary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just tell her not to overturn any more cars, please.
Yeah.
Can we leave that to the professionals?
You knew that was going to happen.
I know. A couple of knuckleheads.
Yep. So when we get back, we'll talk college basketball, Rutgers and Seton Hall. SportsNow.com. This is the podcast, and this is what we are. We cover New Jersey and New York. If you see our logo on the site, it says we cover both sides of the Hudson. So that's what we do, Johnny, right?
Absolutely. We cover it like a blanket, Steve.
No doubt. And we like to do the local college basketball, and we're going to cover Rutgers and Seton Hall right now. But how about St. John's with a big, big upset?
Absolutely. You know, they had been getting closer. They were 0-11 in Big East play, but they were in many games, like we're talking down to the final minutes of each games, and have found a way oftentimes to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. But listen, you're at Madison Square Garden, and you've got Duke on the other side of the court.
And that Duke's coming in to pick up an easy win, let's face it. Right?
And, not only that, but to snake all of the great recruits who were in the crowd that there watching all the best New York and New Jersey guys.
Oh,
so,
they got a plan.
Yeah, Coach K wants to come in with his bag and put him in the bag on the way out the door. And Chris Mullen, you know, people forget, he helped build the Big East Conference. Mm-hmm.
He's been struggling as a coach,
Patrick Ewing,
so far,
or
right?
Two of the building blocks. No doubt he's been struggling. He's getting some heat for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy is a Hall of Fame basketball player.
No question.
And he's got sitting on his bench an assistant coach, Mitch Richmond, who's also a Hall of Fame These guys know a thing or two about the game. And it's just the fact that they don't have the horses right now that can do what these guys need them to do. But listen, Shamori Ponds is an assassin with a headband on. Mm-hmm. He's a star player, and he showed up. I mean, he was phenomenal, and they just weren't going to have it anymore. Enough. They weren't going to lose a close game. It looked like they had like a 9-point lead. Then Duke came back and took the lead, and Pons and his crew said, no, we're going to take this home. Thank you for coming up, Duke, but you're going home
they
with
held
a W.
At the Garden,
with an L.
Man. So
it was
a big win.
Tremendous
big
game.
Win for that program.
Yes.
A big win for Mullins, for sure.
Yes.
Moving forward. The Rutgers Scarlet Knights,
not a big
different
win.
Story. You know, well, let's go back to the Seton Hall game and where they a huge win for the program, man. It's just been a rough go from there. They lose the 2 to Stony Brook and Hartford.
Yeesh.
Oh, boy, that's tough. And Stony Brook, I mean, think about it. That's his former team.
I know.
Coming into the rack.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a bad show for
Pikul. Oh, that was terrible.
Believe me, I'm not going to start railing on Pikul. I believe he's
the right.
I still like the coach. I think he's the right guy for this position. Well, you know, he got the extension. Maybe a little quick on the extension. Yeah. I don't know.
Right
after
the
jury's out on
game.
That. But yeah, and then sure enough, he loses those 2 games for whatever reason. I mean, look, they can't score. Whether they're ready to play or not is another story. And then, you know what? I railed on him pretty hard. I went on the site, you know, more reactionary stuff because I was frustrated. You know, hey, listen, I love Rutgers. I went there. I want to see them do well. When they don't, I get ticked off.
Yes.
Definitely a reactionary article. But I basically said, I don't think they could win any Big Ten games now. It's a waste. This season's a waste. You know what? They turned out and they did. They won 2 Big Ten games. They had one of the most complete games they've had that I've seen against Iowa, where they were just completely, they shot the ball well. They played good defense. They blew them out, and it was impressive. Now, Iowa's not a good team this year. I got it. But you know what? Everybody's a challenge in the Big Ten.
Yes.
Everybody is. And then they went on and beat Wisconsin as well. Wisconsin's in down year 2. But, hey, they won. So they did win 2 Big Ten games. But then it's just been a rough one. Now, you know, and the real rough one, and we were just talking about this earlier, is going it. Now, you had said in a daily brief where it's a chance for Rutgers to win a few games.
They had a stretch.
They go to Illinois and just get trashed. Yeah. I mean, the tough loss to Nebraska at home. Nebraska's pretty good.
Yeah, then they had Penn State, who, you know, is not a world beater, although they've been playing really well.
Awful.
And they got whacked
out
in Happy Valley. Then, you know, okay, here we go. Here's our shot at
Battle of the basement against Illinois. The concern there is they are at Champaign, which was the concern because they're just awful on the road.
They
won 1 Big Ten game on the road.
They wound up popping the Champaign because they annihilated Rutgers. I mean, it wasn't even a game.
It was horrible.
Then they come home and play Purdue to the final minute.
The Corey Sanders lighting it up with 31. Talk about all over the place. Oh. You know, shows up one game, not showing up the next.
And then the
inconsistency is just frustrating.
Then you have a 500 Indiana team come into your building. They're 500. This is not like Bob Knight and Scott May and the boys.
Mediocre Big Ten team, and they blow them out.
And they're down 26-16 at halftime. Corey Sanders shoots 1 for 11 from the floor.
Awful.
They
got injuries. Mike Williams going down hurt them. Although, you know, Mike Williams isn't a world beater. He's a good bench player.
Yeah, we're not talking about LeBron James going down.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Williams is a nice player. He's an integral part of what they do. But come on. I mean, 24% from the field they shot?
I always screw up his name. Omarui going down.
Omarui
going down was a killer because he is a good player.
He's a glue player. He does a nice job.
Good athlete who hasn't realized his potential quite yet. He's getting there.
Steve, they scored 43 points.
It's awful.
Now
I'll say Indiana played good defense. They did. And they were all over
the court.
And they looked tired. Now listen, they're 48 hours away from the Purdue loss where they really gave it their all. The team looked tired. You know, Pikul demands a lot from them. They looked tired.
They did.
And you know what? When you're tired, you don't have your legs, it's hard to score. And with a team struggling like that, they can't score, man.
They
can't shoot.
My team scored 48 points on Saturday down at Orange.
It's unbelievable. Listen. And I don't like to rail on individual players because it's, you know, they're college kids and you know, I'll leave it at that. I mean, you know, Issa Chom is their best 3-point shooter, and he's not even a good 3-point shooter. I mean, that's where we are here with this. And, you know, these guys have poor shooting nights, you know, night in and night out. And it's just, you know, you can only – defense, look, keeps them in the game. Defense will keep in the game, but the name of the game is putting the ball in the bucket.
They do a great job defensively. They're number 1 in the Big Ten in scoring. But listen, your 2 go-to guys, Deshaun Freeman and Corey Sanders, shoot a combined 4 for 22 from the floor. You're not going to win. Those are the only bucket getters they have. Geo Baker's had a nice freshman year. He had 10 points, but you know,
definitely one positive thing you can take away from this is Geo Baker and his season so far.
Yeah,
he's just going to develop from here. He's a good player.
And they unfortunately they get 0 from their bench.
Yeah.
I mean, they get nothing.
Mike Williams was a big part of that. And they get nothing. I mean, like Candido Saw, guys like that. I mean, they're long and athletic and they're good. They're built for defense, but they can't score. Dorson, I mean, he can't even put a ball down. He can't. I mean, he's right there.
What about Souf Mensa? Do you like Souf?
Well, I mean, he's an energy guy, and again, he'll give you a good effort on defense.
Let's switch.
Go to Seton Hall.
Yeah,
man.
Let's go to Seton Hall. They had an amazing game, Super Bowl Sunday, 11:30 tip off, or I'm sorry, a noon tip off, down on the main line against Villanova, as they say down there. And they hung in there. They were in this game. I mean, the first half was awesome. I mean, it was tit for tat. I mean, they were going after each other, scoring. Both teams can score. Both teams defend. They have players in all spots, from whether you're talking point guard to small forward, shooting guards to centers. I mean, with Delgado and the boys down low. But, I mean, you don't get a chance to see, if you haven't had a chance to see Villanova play, they're just good.
Just another level. Man.
I mean, there's a guy that I can't think of who it is. He just he sends out tweets all the time. And after they win, he says, "Death taxes Villanova." They just are unbelievably consistent, and they defend you like crazy. And they don't have all, unlike Kentucky and Duke, who have the one and done McDonald's All-American top 5-10 recruits. Villanova has none of those. They get solid recruits. They get top 100 guys, but they're not. We're not talking like the Marvin Bagleys of the world.
Right.
And they just go out and clobber teams day in and day out. And this has been going on for years now. Seton Hall hung in there with them, but they have a redshirt freshman this year. He's a big guy, Omari Spellman, and he kept bringing Angel Delgado out
dropping
to the 3-point. He didn't want to come out there. Come on out, come out, come out, wherever you are. Bang, he would drop a three in his face.
Yeah.
He took over late.
Here you got guys. Here's, the difference between these other programs in Villanova. You got guys, you got these trees, man, that can hit shots.
No doubt.
So, I mean, there's the difference. You got all-around players who don't just play defense, but are guys that, or just go inside and play, have an inside game. They got it all game.
Delgado just wants to bang around the basket. He's going to get you, he's the human double-double.
Right.
But he doesn't want to have to go out on the perimeter. And at his size, he's not nimble enough to get out there.
Right.
But Omari Spellman is, and he took advantage of that, and he brought him out, and he was dropping threes in his face.
Yeah, yeah.
He really was.
Yeah, so, they hung on for most of the game, but then what, that last...
Went from a 3-point game to a 21-point game in the span of about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, they just...
Final score, 16 points.
Just turned it on, So that's what you're seeing. You're seeing Seton Hall against the number one team in the country, and that's what you get. You get a team that can hang around for a little while, but at the end of the day, they're just not there.
At least not on the road. I think when you get them in the Prudential Center in a couple of weeks, they can win there. I think they can beat them.
It's possible. And, they're going to go to the dance, and this is Seton Hall's opportunity this year to do really well. No more of these one and dones. I think they have a chance with this team.
Yeah, they better
go deep, and it would be very exciting. Because once we get into that, we can go the Rutgers Seton Hall thing, and hey, we were fortunate to beat them at our place this year, and that was an exciting, one exciting moment for Rutgers basketball.
No,
just yucking it up, but once they get into the tournament, man, hey, I'm all for the Jersey teams,
and they better do it because
the New York teams.
They are so heavily senior laden. You know, when you're talking Ish Sanogo, Desi Rodriguez, Angel Delgado, and Kadeem Carrington,
they just have to play an A+ game. They don't really have room for it's not like some of these top teams that can have an off night like a Purdue against Rutgers, where look they're still going to win that game.
It would be great for them if they could get to the Sweet 16. They deserve that to themselves and to their fans. Yep. Get to that second weekend. They need to get to the Sweet 16. And for the Big East, they need a few teams to get there this year.
Now how about your Friars? What's going on there?
Friars, thank God I did not go to the Seton Hall game we played down here, because that was whack-a-mole. They killed us in that one. It was a beatdown, and I did not see that. I didn't think that they would win, but I didn't think that they would get beaten as badly as they did. Their season was teetering on the brink. They had a huge game on Saturday out in Milwaukee. They played Marquette, two teams that were sort of teetering on the brink. Mm-hmm. And we went out there and we won a tough game. We gutted it out. We were down at halftime. And
are they a tournament team?
Yeah, right now all of the prognosticators have them, bracketology, Joe Lenardi's got that baloney out already. He's got them in. I mean, they're not going to be a high seed. They'll be a 9, 10 or 11 seed. They might even be in the play-in game, but
Big East is a good, man. It's
rated the RPI, the number one conference in college basketball. So you're banging heads with great teams night in and night out.
Yeah.
But listen, Seton Hall is going to be there. They're one of the top three or four teams in the conference, without a doubt. Mm. Now what they need to do is to finish the conference strong so that they can get a bye that first night for the tournament. You don't want to have to play that first night and then have to continue to play games.
Right.
You want to get that one little breather in there while everybody else is a little bit tired for that second night.
Right. You want to come in like what?
Yeah.
What, like a 5 seed, right?
You want to be one of the top three. I think the top four teams get byes. So you want to definitely be one of the top four. They're 6-4 in the conference now.
You think they'd be a top four team?
In the NCAA tournament. Yeah. I'm talking in the Big East tournament.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you need that bye for the Big East tournament. They would never be, I mean, unless they ran the table, they wouldn't be a top four seed in the big dance. You know who will be a top four seed in the dance? And I think they're ranked number 5 this
week.
Is Xavier.
Yeah.
Yeah, people sleep on them a little bit.
Yeah.
They are a very good team. The Big East could have two. I mean, some people even have them as a number one seed.
Okay.
They could have two number one seeds coming out of that conference, which would be amazing.
Yeah. Speaking of the Big Ten conference tournament. I mean, Rutgers is going to be, it's going to be a one and done. The thing that is a little disappointing is last year they were actually kind of peaking at that time. They were playing very well. They're buying into Steve Peichel's system.
And they knock off
Ohio State.
Yes.
And this year, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen.
No, I don't think.
Especially with the injuries that are going on.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. It's not going to be pretty down
the
stretch.
Better days ahead.
You better hope so.
We better hope so. That's my rallying cry.
Fit Matt Bullock for a helmet.
Yeah, I think so. He looks like a linebacker, man.
Yeah.
For sure. And that'll do it for this week of the podcast at moresportsnow.com. Steve Tichner here with John McAlevey. We do this weekly. It usually comes out on Tuesday. So check it out on our site and also on iTunes as well. We'll catch you all next week.
Bye-bye.